Well, the writer of Psalm 121 is gearing up for a difficult journey to worship God in Jerusalem. But this trek to Jerusalem quickly becomes a parable for what it means for God's people to be on a journey with Him, the journey of this life. Now, from cradle to grave, God is orchestrating a story in our lives, a story that often includes painful and tearful circumstances, and a story that likewise includes peaceful seasons of laughter and tranquility. Both of these things exist in our life, the story that God is writing in our lives. Now, Psalm 121 is meant to instill confidence and courage in the hearts of God's people. And as we look towards the difficulty of the journey ahead, that we are instilled with confidence and joy and certain hope that our God will be with us and will protect us through whatever difficulty may come, so that He might preserve us for eternity. And so the main idea this morning is that we, as God's people, would trust God to protect us through hardship and to preserve us for our eternal rest. So as we open this psalm, what difficulty lies before you this morning? And since it's 2020, we could just ask, what difficulty does not lie before us this morning? Is it COVID life, perhaps? The isolation or the loneliness or the fear or the financial pressure? Or perhaps it's pandemic schooling? Or it could be connected somehow to this year's divisive election. Or it might flow from the difficult conversation we're having as a country related to race. Or it could be the personal trials that you're bearing up under at the same time. Maybe depression, or your marriage, or a seemingly losing battle with sin, or a health issue that you are having trouble making sense of. But here's what we can take confidence in this morning. No matter what the difficult journey is, our God is with us in the journey. Our God sets Himself up as our protector, as our helper, guardian, and keeper. And that's what we'll see this morning. But not only that God is able to be our protector, but that He desires to be our protector. His protection is not, He's not loath to protect us. He's eager to protect us. He is not reluctant to come to our aid. And His help is not generic and general, but personal and intimate. Our God knows our name in the middle of the difficult journey. Our God collects our tears in a bottle in the middle of the difficult journey. And so we'll see this morning that we should be convinced and persuaded that God is worthy of our confidence. Two movements in our sermon this morning. The first is our need for help. And the second, the longer point, will be our source for help. So let's begin in verse 1 of Psalm 121. A song of ascents. Verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? Now, in the Psalms, you'll see sometimes in small caps above where the Psalm begins, some introductory background information that the editors of the Psalms in their original form provided for us. Sometimes it gives us an author or the musical instruments or the function. We're told here that this is a song of ascent. Psalm 121 is in the grouping of Psalms that were meant to accompany God's people as they went up to the temple in Jerusalem to worship God. They would sing these songs together as they approached God in worship. Now, this journey is a difficult journey. It's filled with threats from bandits and bad weather and poor health. And this is what the mountains seem to indicate. They're ominous. The question that the sight of the mountains provokes in the psalmist is that of anxiety. As I look to the mountains, where will my help come from? Where will my guidance come from? Who will bless and encourage and lead me through these mountains to worship God? As I said, the difficult journey quickly becomes more than a prayer for safety on the trek to Jerusalem. This is a parable of the whole of a Christian's life. Those of us who trust Christ are not spared the perils of life in a world that's been broken by sin. Our circumstances and our relationships are wrought with the difficult. And in those moments of uncertainty and desperation and confusion and fear, we long for rescue, don't we? A couple months ago, Nicole and I loaded our kids' bikes in the van and we went to a park close to our house. This park is a bike path that goes in a circle around a Little League baseball field. And Nicole and I walked around the circle path while the kids rode their bikes, and they would continue to circle around us and keep going. Well, as we talked, we heard our three-year-old Ezra begin to scream. Fear had descended on his heart, and we could tell right away he had lost track of us. Though we could see him, he could not see us or any of his siblings. And so we began to scream and ride his balance bike down the path back toward the van. So he was in need of help, and he knew it. Now, as you survey your life this morning, where is the journey difficult? As you look up ahead at the path in front of you, where does anxiety begin to creep in your heart? Where do you ask the question, where will my help come from? Now, during phone calls over the past 2 weeks, as I said, I know somewhat of the collective weight we're bearing as a church family. Some of you are still neck deep in difficult cancer diagnosis with no clear path toward healing. Some of you are resisting suffocation in a marriage or in your family situation that's only been intensified by these 5 months of time at home. A great many of you are preparing to balance another school year of trying to be a faithful parent and a faithful employee, and I know that it's terrifying you. Kids, are you beginning to feel lonely? Are you missing your activities? Are you missing your friends? Are you finding yourself somewhat bored and out of touch? You're not alone. The isolation is becoming overwhelming. The lack of being able even to touch another human being for many of you has become almost withering. And then there's the upcoming election that's fraught with division and slander and sharp differences of opinion. And then at the same time, we're watching our country stumble to try to make sense of the racial injustice that's being uncovered. And here's one of the difficult journeys that I'm staring ahead at, personally. Is it God saved Christians to be in local churches? God saved us as individuals, and he's placed us in a community of faith where we can walk alongside one another, where we can build one another up in love, where we can speak the truth to one another, help one another, fight sin, and persevere to the end. This pandemic has isolated us and has disrupted our rhythm of life together as a church. And it has therefore placed us in a spiritually precarious position where we are susceptible to extreme blindness to sin and false teaching. And so the anxious question that I've been asking over the last month is, how long can we sustain this? Now, the psalmist has posed his own anxious question in light of the difficult journey that he is seeing in front of him. And in the rest of the psalm, the psalmist is going to answer his own question with resounding confidence that God is our helper. And that's where we'll turn now. Our source of help, the God who protects and preserves his people. Look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. As Ed said yesterday, Lord in lower caps means Yahweh, God's personal name. It's mentioned 5 times in this text. The psalmist says, Yahweh is my source of help. Yahweh is where my help will come from. And notice how he's described, the maker of heaven and earth. This God is the owner of all things. This God is the creator of all things. There's nothing that exists outside of God. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, this is about Jesus. Jesus, it's through Jesus that all things were created. It's for Jesus that all things were created. Jesus is the one who sustains all creation. There is no inch of God's creation, there is no moment in your circumstances where God is not in sovereign, complete, total, resolute, and calm control. Now, it took us some time to catch Ezra that day. All five of us were trying to get to him, but he was so filled with fear and so loud that he could not hear us. And so finally, Caleb and I caught up with him. And when he finally heard our voices, he turned. And the panic and the fear and the tears on his face, I won't soon forget. But when I picked up his trembling body and he gripped his arms around my neck, I knew that he had found a helper. Brothers and sisters and friends, we need a helper, and we have one in God. In verses 3 through 8, the psalmist recounts in poetic melody who this protector is. You could think of Psalm 121 as three stanzas and a chorus of a song about God as our helper. The key word in verses 3 through 8 is keeper or guardian or protector. It's used six times in these six verses. So here's the first thing we learn about our protector in verses 3 and 4. Your protector does not sleep. Therefore, no difficulty in your life is an accident. No difficulty in your life or mine or our life corporately is an accident because our God does not sleep. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to sleep. He who keeps, protects, guards, you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Your helper will not let your foot sleep. He does not slumber. There are no accidents in your life. Yahweh, our helper, is the night watchman. And this night watchman does not doze off. Kids, are you scared of the dark? I remember when I was a kid, I would sleep at my grandparents' farm during the summers, and I would try desperately to fall asleep before my grandparents. My thought was, things are less scary when grandma and grandpa are awake. Your night watchman does not sleep. We have a God, a protector, who has no need for rest. He's never off duty. And so what are we to think when bad things happen in our lives? What are we to think and reason when difficulty comes into our lives? Well, we have a night watchman who let them through the door. We have a night watchman who permitted the difficulty into our lives. There is no difficulty in your life or mine that is there by accident. Our unsleeping God, who has no need for rest, has permitted it. Now, we should never say in trouble that our God is out of control or that difficulty somehow slipped past him. Our protector is using that difficulty with a specific design in mind, a design that will ultimately end with him being glorified and his people having very good things done to them. Now, do you perceive the hardship in your life, the difficulty, as something that God has sovereignly permitted in your life? A God who loves you intimately. This is not a God who is indifferent or precarious. This is not a God who plays games with you. You are bought with the blood of his own son. You are his precious adopted child. There is no difficulty in your life for which God did not permit there because he felt that would be the most loving way to care for you. Your protector doesn't sleep, so no difficulty is in your life by accident. The second point, verses 5 and 6, your protector is a shelter. Therefore, you are not alone in any difficulty. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, protector, guardian. The Lord is your shade or shelter on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Since the Lord is our keeper, protector, and guardian, neither sun nor moon will strike us. During our difficult journey, God is like a constant source of shade. What does shade do? Shade takes the edge off the heat of the day. He also takes the edge off the cool of the night. The point is, God is present in trouble. God is with us in trouble. And his presence takes the edge off the difficulty. Now take note that God is shielding us from the sun and moon. He's not removing it from us. The difficult circumstance sometimes stays, but so does the shade. Sometimes the journey can seem so long, the trials can feel unrelenting as sun bakes against our skin and saps our strength. Brothers and sisters, we must be careful not to interpret God's delay in removing difficulty as indifference toward us. With loving intentionality, God is willing sometimes to permit hardship to stay for the sake of His glory and our good. Now, I know some of you are in the midst of long, staggering difficulty. One of you has been 5 months in assisted living without seeing another person without PPE. One of you has 8 months of unrelenting medical complications, one after another after another. One of you is 2 years into an intense struggle with depression. One of you, years of a challenging marriage that still brings you to tears. One of you has watched your child deal with crippling pain for more than a year. And in each conversation over the last few weeks, these members of your church family are saying that God is faithful, that God is sustaining, that God is causing us to persevere. They are experiencing God as a source of shade. They're experiencing the constant presence of the Helper who is coming alongside, and His very presence in trouble takes the edge off the pain. So you might feel like you are withering on the vine as the sun bakes down on the top of your head, but your protector won't let you be struck. To be struck is to be slayed. Your protector, though he may not take the pressure off, will not let you be struck. The point is that hardship does not have the final word in your life or our life together. Do you believe God and take Him at His word? That difficulty in your life is not the final chapter. The plot line that God is writing and orchestrating in your life extends to eternity. And that's where the psalmist turns next, verses 7 through 8. Your protector is sovereign. Your protector is sovereign, and therefore no difficulty in your life will hinder God's eternal purposes for you. No difficulty will thwart God's ability to do in your life what He has designed to do. He's committed to eternal purposes in your life, and no difficulty will upset those purposes. Verse 7, the Lord will protect, keep, guard you from all evil. It's a broad Hebrew word that just gives a sense of any effect of the fall in our circumstances and relationships. It's anything bad or unpleasant. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Now, clearly, God does not keep difficulty from our lives. We all experienced that already this morning. So what does verse 7 and 8 mean? Notice that he says, He'll keep your soul. Soul is simply life. It's the inner person. It's what lives beneath the flesh and bones. It's what will live forever. It's what's eternal. Our body that we're walking around in may be burned at the stake or sawn in two or destroyed by disease. Even still, God claims authority as our protector. And this means that there's something more profound and lasting at play. There's something longer and more eternal that God has in mind. You see, there's a protection that outlives this life. Notice verse 8. He will guard our coming and our going. There's no detail that's too small or too mundane for God to care about. Whether you can't get your sermon manuscript to print or you can't figure out your cancer treatment plan, and everything in between, God is working for our good. There is nothing that goes unnoticed by him. He is sovereignly guarding and protecting each departure and return, and not just for this life, but for the next. Adoniram Judson, the famous missionary, once wrote this: God has not led me so tenderly thus far only to forsake me at the very gate of heaven. There's no difficulty in your life that will hinder God's eternal purposes. He is sovereignly at work. And that means not one of your tears are wasted. Not one wince in pain will not accomplish God's eternal purposes. Remembering that God is sovereign brings meaning to every last circumstance and relationship. Now, before we close, there's one massive question for us to answer, and we'll answer it quickly. Our main idea is that we want to trust God to protect us through hardship and preserve us for eternity. Well, how does God accomplish this? How does he ensure protection through hardship and preservation for eternity? How does he ensure that the final chapter of our lives is not difficulty, but glorification and rest with him forever? We already said that the root cause of all our difficulty is sin. Sin and the fall is an infection that has wreaked havoc on all creation. It's broken our circumstances, our relationships, and our bodies. It has alienated us from God. Now here's Colossians 1, where Paul writes and reveals Jesus as the Redeemer of God's people. For in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace, how? By the blood of his cross. Therefore, verse 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, that's all of us before we came to Christ, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Why? In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Jesus is doing something not just to save his people from sin, but to perfect them in his likeness. God will see us glorified in his presence, and no hardship and no difficulty will stop his purposes. So friend, if you are not a follower of Christ, this is the time for you to recognize that though you are separated from God, he longs for you to be reconciled, just like every Christian in this room. We understand that it's only by God's grace that we've been invited into fellowship with God through Christ. And without that, God, far from being your protector, is your greatest threat. But in Christ, your greatest threat becomes your eternal source of protection. Church, more challenging days lie ahead of us. We're living through a tough election charged by racial tensions, and we're attempting to persevere while a global pandemic has separated us from each other and from our normal rhythms of life. And on top of that, we're each bearing a heavy personal load. Where will our help come from? Who will protect us? Who will guard us? Who will ensure that we make it to the end? The Lord is our helper. The Lord is our helper, the maker of heaven and earth. He does not sleep, therefore no difficulty in our life is an accident. The Lord is our shelter, which means we're never alone in difficulty. He's always present. The Lord is sovereign. No difficulty will be able to upset his eternal purposes in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we can rejoice not knowing the future, but trusting the one who does, trusting with confidence the one who will finish the work he started in our lives individually, in our life together as a church family. Will you trust him with me for the year ahead? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for this momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul is not minimizing the difficulties of this life. He's saying, in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that's beyond all comparison, the difficulties of this life can be experienced by us as momentary and light. Why? As we look, verse 18, not to the things that are seen, not to our circumstances that we can see, but we look to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, our circumstances, they're transient, they're fleeting and passing. But the things that are unseen, God's eternal power and work in our lives is eternal. It will far outlast any difficulty of this life. Thank God that He is our helper. Let's pray. Father, in Christ, you have reconciled us to yourself. We are safe in the arms of our Father. You are working in our lives for our good, no matter the difficulty. And so as we stand and worship together as a church family, would we be persuaded and convinced as we sing that Christ is mine and ours forevermore. Amen.